I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Very pleased to be joined by MLB Network insider John Heyman to go over everything that's happening with the baseball discussions right now between the league and the players' union. John, thank you for the time this morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great, thank you. So the first thing that I want to know, John, is the sliding pay scale proposal that we heard about yesterday. It sounds like the players' union isn't too fond of this. What are you hearing in terms of the players' association reaction to baseball's offer?
Yeah, the union isn't too fond of the offer, I'll say that. They might be amenable to a sliding pay scale. It's just that the pay scale drops too precipitously for them. The star players aren't going to love this, and the power players in the union aren't going to love it. The leadership of the union isn't going to love it. But I will point out one thing. 65% of players make $1 million or less. And those players still make out okay or better on this. The minimum of players, the 563,500 players, still get 91.9% of their prorated pay. So it'll be a little less than half because they're playing half a season, but a lot of those players are really going to be okay with it. That said, the union is not thrilled with it. The union leadership will, I think, once they get over the fact they don't love it, they'll have to come back with a counteroffer.
So we know why baseball is doing this. Baseball is doing this because they're going to lose a lot of money once no fans are in the stands if they do resume. Why did baseball propose the sliding scale proposal rather than what we were hearing before with the revenue split?
I think it became clear that the revenue split was a non-starter. The union was not going to go for that. Philosophically, they were against it. Not sure whether MLB leaked it just to find out what the reaction would be or what, but it got out that they were thinking about the revenue split of 50-50, and it became clear that the union did not like it when they responded negatively to it. So they wanted to do something that they had a better chance. That said, the cuts are too draconian for the union, and they're going to have to counter. And that said, I see a lot of negativity about this, and that's the way these negotiations go. The first offer is never met with approval at all. It's always met with belly aching on the other side, whatever side it is. So I don't think we should be discouraged by the fact that it's going to take a bit to do this deal.
Do you think that this puts the two sides closer? Because like you said, the revenue split was a non-starter. Does this make things a little closer in your mind?
Well, it's just numbers now, and it's numbers that everybody can understand. One of the problems with the revenue split was that the players really weren't believing what the revenues were, and also we don't know what the revenues are going to be. This way, it's more defined what the players get, and they're numbers that are clear and while it's not going to be accepted, it's, I believe, once they settle down, the union will be able to work off this and try to figure it out. So I actually looked at yesterday as a good step. I know a lot of people are negative about it on Twitter because the initial reaction, understandably, was, wow, this isn't too good. And certainly the very star players are not going to be thrilled with it. But you know what? It only makes sense because you're not saving money really cutting someone who's making half of the minimum, $280,000. And beyond that, you know, those players are making a more of a normal wage while they're making more than most people in the United States. to cut them would have been tougher. Obviously, Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer and Bryce Harper and all those players, it's not going to affect their lifestyle. And so there were a couple of reasons to do it, but the main reason is there wasn't much to cut out of the 280,000, the minimum wage players were going to get. They wasn't going to save MLB very much money.
I've been doing math all morning, John, trying to, and you're right, everything is basic and it's understandable, and this may be moot in the end because you're right, they may move off of this idea that's on the table now. But one thing I've been trying to figure out all morning from the percentage scales that we've seen from the different reports, the salary number that they're taking the percentages from, is that salary number the number that's prorated from the original salary or the original salary with no prorated figure factored in?
The numbers that you're seeing now is the percentage of prorated. So let's say taking the player that had $1 million salary, if they played the full season, in an 82-game schedule, they're basically making half or a little over 500,000 of that. So that would be the prorated. If you just abided by the prorated, they'd get a little over 500,000. But the players making $1 million still will get most of that. They will, instead of getting the 500,000 or a little bit over 500,000, it's 434,000 and change according to the chart. So those players will receive not half because it's a percentage. It's something like 85% or something like that of the prorated pay. So I hope that clears it up. I know it's not easy. It's a little bit complicated, but the players were hoping to get prorated, which would be half of their regular salary. So Harper, if he makes $25 million for this year, was hoping to get the prorated of the 82 games, which would be a little over 12.5. 82 is a little more than half the season. Now he's going to be cut a lot more than the players making $1 million, though, as we explained.
So the percentage cuts come from the prorated figure and not, like Mike Trout was set to make around $36, $37 million this year. They're not taking a percentage from that. They're taking a percentage. They're proposing to take a percentage from the prorated figure from that $36, $37 million number.
Right. The players making, let's say Gerrit Cole making $37 million, the 44% that those players make, who make around $35, $36 million, it's going to be about 44% of the prorated. So that's why Cole, let's say at $36 million, prorated, he'd be a little over $18 million because they're playing more than half the game, slightly one more game than half the game. But he's making 44% of the prorated. So it's 44% of the 50%. So 44% of the $18 million turns out to be $7.8 million. So, in effect, he would make around 20% of his salary for playing half of the season.
Gotcha. Understood. So, what do you think the solution will likely be? How are they going to figure this out in your estimation?
I think they need to work off of these numbers and figure it out from there. I mean, is it possible to go to fewer games and more playoff games? I guess that's possible. They're already adding an extra round, though, so that's probably unlikely. I think they just need to work off these numbers, and the union's got to hope that the hits are not quite that harsh for the better players, for the players making in the millions. And certainly someone making $36 million to taking basically an 80% hit is pretty tough. So they're going to have to find a compromise somewhere in between. Make it a 65% hit instead of an 80% hit for the top players. Have them make, $12 million instead of $7.8 million, something like that. Nobody's going to like it. The players are going to obviously get big pay cuts, the star players. And, I do think the owners obviously are not only not going to make the money that they normally make, they're going to lose money. Now, that said, owners have made a lot of money in recent years. They've made good deals with the union, and the revenues have been very high. So certainly they can afford to take the hits in most cases, in almost all cases. I'm not going to vouch for Miami or perhaps Oakland or Tampa, but the other teams are certainly wealthy enough to take a hit this year when there's a pandemic going on.
What do you think about the idea, John, of players accepting deferred payments? MLB comes to them with a proposal, and they say, we'll pay you this, but a lot of it will be deferred down the line. Do you think that has a likelihood of happening?
I think that was something that the players were interested in doing to keep their same salaries and deferring the money. I don't think that does a lot for the owners, and in many cases, they're going to be taking a lot of debt there. They've already really suspended the debt service rule, which limits how much debt teams can take on. So they could do it, but I don't think it's a big enough benefit for teams to really consider that as anything very valuable. The players may try that in their first offer, and I think that will be rejected if that's the whole answer, just to defer money and still pay the same amount. I just don't see that happening.
It's no secret that baseball hopes to get going in early July. That was the proposal that the owners agreed upon before they went to the players' union. What do you think the deadline is to finalize everything economically and safety-wise so games could possibly happen July 4th weekend?
Well, they're saying that the soft deadline is June 1st to get this done and to get players into camp June 10th. That is the goal. That's the goal, June 10th. That's a little harder than the deadline. The deadline is softer. They can work on that. Players are, by and large, ready to go. So if they got it done June 6th or June 7th, I think that that would still work. So for that and a number of reasons, I'm still very optimistic. They're not going to let the economics of the situation blow things up. There's going to be some give and take. There's going to be some harsh words. And it may not look good for a week or two as they negotiate, but eventually I'd be shocked if they don't get a financial deal done.
So you anticipate you anticipate that despite all the bad blood, they'll figure out the finances. And then, of course, there's the safety aspect as well. John, do you think that there's going to be baseball played this summer?
I would say more likely than not at this point. The numbers are improving, although not like we'd like in terms of the health numbers. I think if there was a setback in terms of the COVID-19 numbers, that's going to be the thing that would stop it. I just don't see the economics nor certainly the health protocol stopping. On the health situation, they both want the same thing. They both want to ensure the safety of the players. There'll be some give and take on some things like the showering after games and hydrotherapy and hitting in the batting cages. But I think they're on the same page on the testing and the important stuff. So they're going to work that part out. I do believe at this point, it's no guarantee, I do believe they'll work out the economics. It all comes down to health numbers and whether the authorities are ready to go. Right now they are saying they are, so it would take a setback for it not to happen. So I'm going to say better, more likely than not, that we have baseball.
Well, hopefully it's safe enough and that is the case. MLB Network insider John Heyman. John, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Stay safe and stay well.
Sounds good, Dave. Good talking to you.
Thanks. You too. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.